This is Good Sound Waves.
Whatever sounds good.
Welcome to the Good Sound Waves podcast. I'm the other guy, and today I have as my guest Van Arlo, a singer-songwriter from Medina, Ohio.
One thing I do want to talk about is the name Van Arlo. This whole thing kind of started, a good friend of mine, Jesse, who we still play together a lot, kind of had a vision for this to be like a full band. Jesse and I still play out as a duo, acoustic duo. We just played Saturday at the House of Blues. But my sort of grand vision when we got together to do this was to have it be a full band project. So when we were kind of formulating all that, we came up with this name, Van Arlo. But as life kind of takes its course and we get busy with other things, it's kind of, at least for the original music, it's kind of been mostly just me the last year or so. You know, I still play under the name Van Arlo, and I still have people come and play with me, like Mary, that's going to be here later. It's going to play some violin. I have other people come play violin and cello, and for that Blue Macaroon Theater show, I'm going to have violin, cello, and a piano player, cousin of mine, Eddie Marthy. And so I kind of play under the name Van Arlo. I don't know how best to explain it other than that. It's not my name. My name is Ben.
Well, Ben, I was going to ask you about that because I would have loved some clarity. So thank you very much for just volunteering that.
So I kind of view it as a project where, you know, it's called Van Arlo, and it could be me. It could be me with several other people. It could be me with a full band.
So this duo concept morphed into a personal project now, where Van Arlo is your umbrella name for the projects that you do with other musicians that you're at the center of.
Yeah, that's it, man. That's a very good way to put it.
I went to community college and got me an associate's degree.
That is way better than what my mouthful of words just said. So yeah, that's basically it.
Very cool.
Yeah.
When did you get started with music yourself?
I've been involved with music the majority of my, I guess, since, you know, my first band, I was in a punk band in, like, middle school.
Fantastic.
So it's been a long time. I've kind of journeyed through country music. I've been, you know, in and out of lots of different things until probably around my college days is when I really got into rock music. And I got into a pretty legit rock band called Rosella.
Okay.
That was kind of my passion project for a long time, and we played together for almost 10 years.
Very cool. Now, you have some, your style of music, I've listened to, Play to Win is probably one of my favorite ones of your songs.
Oh, thank you.
I enjoyed that. That was from the album Before Time Runs Out,
yeah.
I believe.
Yeah.
Now, what would you describe your style of music as currently, because you have strings coming in.
Yeah.
So you were doing rock before. You were doing country, obviously, as you stated.
Yeah.
And what is your current direction then?
So I'm trying to kind of blend that sort of raw energy of rock music, which is where my heart's at, into this sort of indie acoustic thing that I've been doing. So I got these string players that play with me occasionally, and I still, rather than being real quiet acoustic, I want to try to marry the energy of rock and roll with some indie strings and that kind of thing.
Okay, now when you record, do you bring in like session drummers or something to that effect?
So Before Time Runs Out, those couple tracks that I did with Jim Wirt up in Superior Sound Studios in Cleveland. We brought in some session players. I did all the guitar work and the vocals.
Okay.
And because, again, I envisioned it being a full band, and it just hasn't kind of gone that way yet. It's been the sort of path of least resistance has been just me playing and getting people to play with me when it's right, you know. So that was a full studio production, which was awesome, and I'm hoping that someday we'll be able to get to that, but for right now I'm kind of doing, you know, the more acoustic stuff.
Okay, and with the strings that you're doing here now, are you writing the parts for the strings, or is this a collaborative effort where somebody comes up and says, this sounds good with that, like, you know, like maybe try this, and then you find in the end, like, okay, yeah, that's the piece we're keeping, do that way from now on?
No, actually, it's a kind of a crazy story. So Since I had kind of gotten into doing things kind of solo acoustic, I have always kind of felt like, you know, I needed something that gives me a little extra. So I was like, I need to have some cello or some something. So I started sort of blanketing the internet for session gig musicians that could play or improvise parts for my original music. And I got this one guy to respond finally. And he said, you know, this isn't something that I normally do, but you should contact this guy. And that guy, his name is Jeremy Paparod. And I just kind of reached out to him randomly, like, hey, you know, my name's Ben, here's my songs. I was told through this person that you can score some music for me to my original music.
You can add a layer to this that's going to make it better.
And so I just kind of developed almost like a pen pal relationship with this Jeremy guy who I've been sending my music to, and he will score right out the cello and violin parts for me. And so now I have sheet music to where when I want to do a gig that's, you know, I think I need that extra, I can just get whoever can sight read. And I've found that, you know, the people that play string instruments like cello, violin are often classically trained, and that's just their way of playing the music, is having it, you know, being able to sight read and play that way. So where I am not a professionally trained musician, I am a homegrown, self-taught, by ear type of person who just connects with, you know, how it makes me feel.
I'd like to talk to you a little bit about your recording process, because you've released quite a few things. I'd like to talk about some of those and maybe your favorite projects out of that. But your recording process, have you been doing this in your own home studio type of setup like a lot of people are starting to do? Or did you have a studio time with one of the local facilities?
I definitely have recording capability at my home, and that's where I try to, like, when I am working on a song and I'm trying to hash it out, you know, I do like demo takes. I'm able to do that at home.
That's a great tool.
It is, absolutely. But one thing I am definitely not is a studio engineer. I feel like, for me anyways, and I know, like, I have lots of friends who I play music with who are all very techie and gear oriented and love that whole side of it too, although I do, for me, I just want to make the music and I want to make it sound good. And I feel like in order to do that, I need to enlist the help of someone who knows more about it than I do. Yeah, you know, I have like a sound in my head that I'm going for each individual thing. And to me, like, I could sit down and I could get behind a board and try to twist some knobs, and by the time I do all that and get everything mic'd up and sound checked and get the magic is gone. You know what I mean? Like, I don't feel like doing it anymore. It's like,
you play guitar. Do you play any other instruments?
Guitar is probably my main instrument, and I'm, you know, again, I'm kind of a self-taught guy, so
One instrument is a lot to teach yourself.
So I've been playing guitar for a while, and my whole thing with guitar, you know, I'm not someone that's gonna pick up guitar and shred, you know, scales and melt your face off. I've always wanted to be that person, but I'm not. For me, playing guitar has always been a means to be able to write a song. So my goal is just always to be able to strum chords and
to build out the structure
and write, you know, songs. So, and that's what I like. I don't like to play up my guitar playing ability very much. I can play piano here and there, and I've played and recorded piano before. I can do a little bit on a bass guitar. That's about it, really.
Fair enough. Do you have any connections to any particular types of gear? Do you have a favorite guitar? Do you like to, does something like help give you the tone that you like the best?
So, you know, like, that changes from time to time, but right now, the guitar I brought here, I'm totally in love with. It's a Taylor. So it's a Taylor Dreadnought, big body, big sound. It can get loud. I love that. I bought it. It's probably the nicest guitar I've ever owned. Out of all the years I've played and owned guitars. I like to collect those. My wife doesn't like that so much, but but this one I love. I finally saved up some money and I went and bought it, and I bought it at Guitar Center here in Fairlawn, and I sat in that acoustic room that they have, you know, and they have all these amazing guitars, and they have all these ones that have really pretty wood and really get you drawn in, and I played all those guitars.
It's an art form, so yeah, definitely.
I played all those, I probably sat in that room for an hour just picking up guitars and playing them, and I kept going back to the one here, and it's beautiful wood, but it's not like, it's pretty basic standard. I just loved how it felt and how it sounded, so I just kept going back to it, and I'm like, you know what, this is the one.
How do you market yourself? Because you're out playing frequently, it seems.
Yeah.
Are you just making phone calls to different booking people, trying to get on the stage? Or and then when you do that, how do you get people to show up outside of their usual crowd? Because they want you to bring somebody when you put on a show.
Yeah, yeah. That part has kind of been a challenge a little bit, because I have this kind of two sides to this Van Arlo thing. Is, you know, I have this acoustic duo that me and my buddy Jesse's go out, like we played at House of Blues on Saturday. And that's like a 3-hour show in the restaurant. And so in doing that, we have to do a lot of covers. I don't have 3 hours of original music.
Fair enough.
So in doing that, that's kind of a whole way to market yourself. And then I still have this like undying drive to write and create my own music. And so kind of been umbrellaing that under this Van Arlo name too. So like that June 15th show at the Blue Macaroon Theater, it's gonna be all original music.
Right.
So I've kind of been trying to do both. Because the you know, sometimes the 3-hour bar gigs will help fund what I'm doing with my original music. And I try not to get too bent out of shape over, oh, it's the cover duo or it's my original project. Mm-hmm. It's just music, man.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that's the big thing in my mind is people get too bent up on whatever technicality they want to get bent up on when it's really people enjoying themselves and trying to, you know, share that with people.
And that's all it is for me. And I just want to get out and play, and whether I'm playing a cover song or I do love to play my own original music, but there's times and places for different things, and I think
definitely.
You got to know the audience that you're performing for, right? That's, you know, if you're playing at dinner time at some local brewery or something, you know, that isn't always the best venue to showcase your original music. People just, they just want to have a drink and have fun. And so, yeah. But then I still, you know, there's places like the Rialto Theater in Akron that I play that they're so supportive of the...
That would be a place that would encourage your original
music. It's original music. And, you know, I love playing there because of that. They're very supportive of all that.
Yeah, they appear to be very supportive of the arts. And they just launched a new podcast of their own. I believe Lauren Brabson, who did one of our sessions videos, is hosting it.
Yeah, I saw that.
What a wonderful personality they have for that.
Yeah, she's very nice. I've met her before. So anyways, if I want to do an original gig, I have places that I can contact for that, such as like the Rialto Theater or this Blue Macaroon Theater in Doylestown. Right. If I'm contacting a microbrewery somewhere, I kind of push more of like...
So it's the difference of whether you're trying to do an artistic thing for yourself or whether you're basically trying to work.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, and that makes a lot of sense because we don't get to do 100% of exactly what we want to do all the time, right?
Boy, isn't that the truth.
And you put in that other work because of the fact it enables you to do the things that you want.
Exactly,
to do.
Exactly.
And it's really special when you do get out to go and perform your own music and actually have your own voice be received and interpreted by all these different people.
It makes all the other stuff worth it, right? You know, it's still very important to me, that aspect. So, yeah, you hit it nail on the head right there.
When was the first time you ever actually stepped out and performed in front of people? Because that's a big stepping stone towards what you're doing.
Probably been like sometime in high school when I was first learning to strum and sing. And I used to sit... I'm from like around the Apple Creek area, which is around Worcester. So we lived in the, you know, kind of out in the sticks a little bit. So I would sit on my parents' back porch and at night and play the guitar and try to hum and learn how to sing. And I think it was probably the first time I actually played in front of people before was probably at a campfire somewhere or something.
That's at least a less intimidating. Everybody's just kind of happy to hear the sound there as opposed to being in front of people at a coffee shop and you're maybe affecting their coffee experience.
Right. Right. Yeah, exactly. And so I probably played a lot of campfires, a lot of stuff like that before. I think when I was in high school, I was kind of in a country band that we would actually get out and go out and play at the bars and stuff. And it was probably somewhere around then.
Your most recent album was recorded at Akron Recording Company. Is that right?
Yeah. So I got to know Ben out there at Akron Recording Company. He helped me record the latest tracks that we put out. And he also did a video for me.
Very cool. Now let's talk about the latest tracks.
Yeah.
Can you tell me what they're called and maybe what they're about?
So this the latest release that I put out is called Live at the ARC, Akron Recording Company, because we went in, Mary, who's going to play violin a little later, and her daughter plays cello. The three of us went in there and we played two songs. We tracked them live, one full take. You know, it wasn't like separately tracked or anything. And they also filmed us as we were doing it. So we went in and played these two songs, got video, we got audio. He helped us marry them together and mixed them for me. And then I released it. I got Sean Wheeler, who goes under the name, I think it's Iovi. He's a Cleveland artist.
Okay.
So he did the album work for me, he let me use one of his pieces for the album work. Mm-hmm. So it's a total original Cleveland. It's all local, you know, Akron Recording Company.
Yeah, that's
local,
right.
Artist, local music. But the cool thing about this sort of thing was I've never did this before. I've never released a live sort of album, or it's only two songs, but
still,
I never did that before. So that was awesome and also terrifying.
Yeah,
because you know, the it's rolling and it's all the good, the bad, the ugly. I think that's what kind of drew me to it, because I feel like a lot of things nowadays, it's so easy with all the technology and everything that you can just bury some of that stuff and make it be almost too perfect sometimes.
Yeah, because sometimes it does. I mean, like, a lot of your work does sound polished. It does. I don't know what too polished necessarily is, but it sounds like any other piece of polished work that comes through my stereo system.
Well, that's good. I mean, don't get me wrong. I want the stuff I put out to sound good. It has to be pleasing or nobody's going to listen to it. But, you know, as far as correcting every single note or, you know, that thing goes,
yeah.
this live at the ARC, I wanted it to have that raw sort of, when you come out, if you're coming out to see me play original music anytime soon, this is what you're going to hear.
Oh, crap, my pinky wasn't on that string hard enough.
Right,
oh,
right.
Well, it's in it.
Yeah, it's in it. And I think there's some vulnerability to that.
Yeah,
that,
definitely.
You know, I'm hoping that will be appealing to some people once they hear it. I have a show coming up June 15th at the Blue Macaroon Theater in Doylestown. And that's like the next sort of, it's the next thing I have on the books that I'm really trying to promote. I'm playing with Rye Valley and I'm excited about it.
What about are you creating more music? Do you have stuff in the pipeline right now?
Oh yeah.
So can you tell me a little bit about what's coming up?
I have more in the pipeline. I'm always working on stuff. I got probably three or four songs that I've been kicking around that I'm still working on lyrics for and arrangements. They're nowhere near being ready yet, but I'm really hoping that this fall I can get in the studio again.
That's cool.
Do something.
Well, looking forward to hearing what you come up with next.
Yeah, and I want to do some more collaboration with other folks, some more string work. I'm really big on like the strings that I've been playing with. It's so cool. It adds such an awesome element. But I want to get some percussion and you know,
yeah,
try to make it more
nice
the full
sound.
Full sound, yeah.
The full sound is satisfying.
Wow, it really is.
I mean, that's why I was really, I'm like, when I was listening to some of your music, I'm like, oh man, I wish he was bringing a drummer too.
I know, right? Yeah.
I want to thank you, Ben, for joining me here today. You guys can check out Van Arlo in every streaming platform you can imagine.
VanArlo.com.
Background music for today's episode was provided by Van Arlo. The Good Sound Waves podcast is copyright 2024 by Good Sound Waves. All rights reserved.
This is Good Sound Waves.
Whatever sounds good.